Let's pray. Lord, you are our vision. You are our light. And I know we say those words often, but you really are. So I just pray today, as you've been speaking to us, as we've been worshiping your name, that you show us your wisdom and your truth and your light. Bless this time now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I get to open up a new series for us called Seek Wisdom. And today we're going to look at specifically an invitation to wisdom. So I don't know if you were here last week or you're watching Steve Berg's last thing. He ended with 25 of his life proverbs. And so we were talking, should we do Steve Berg's proverbs or should we do the book of Proverbs? The book of Proverbs went out. Sorry, Steve, wherever you are. No, this is a series about God's wisdom. We talk about God's goodness, we talk about God's grace, we talk about his power, his provisions, we talk about his care and his promises, but I don't know how often we actually talk about the wisdom that God offers. And so there's going to be a number of speakers throughout the summer. We're going to do this over July and August, and the first week or two of September. And as I said, today is about seeking wisdom and asking for more wisdom on a daily basis. Do we do this? Do I do this? Do I wake up? Do I pray, Lord, I want your wisdom today? So these are some of the questions that we're going to dig into. But there's a great picture here. So our passage today is in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1 to 6. I think it's going to be on the screen. So let's just read it together. Wisdom has built her house. She has carved its seven columns. She has prepared a great banquet, mixed the wines, set the table. She has sent her servants to invite everyone to come. She calls out from the heights overlooking the city. Come in with me, she urges the simple. To those who lack good judgment, she says, come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways behind and begin to live. Learn to use good judgment. I love this because it's a beautiful picture. So wisdom is a woman, Lady Wisdom. Congratulations, ladies. And it's just such a neat picture that the banquet is there, the provisions are done, the hours of work have been done. And she's saying, come in and receive good judgment. So the basis of Proverbs is that if you follow these Proverbs, if you follow this good judgment, life will go well for you. And that runs all throughout Proverbs. But we've got one little problem with that. Bad things happen to good people sometimes, don't they? And good things happen to bad people. And what is the wisdom in all of that? So when we look at that, so we've got this, so we need to kind of step back and say, okay, what is wisdom? What is God's wisdom? And so, as I said, we're doing Proverbs, which is a series of Proverbs about do this and you will be in good judgment and life will go well for you. But another wisdom book is the book of Ecclesiastes, which is a bit of a downer if you've read it. But I actually kind of like it in many different ways because the well-known first part of it is, everything is meaningless, says the teacher. Complete meaningless. So this is also written by Solomon, one of the wisest men ever to exist. And he goes on to talk about the futility of wisdom and the futility of pleasure and the futility of work and the injustices of life. And it just goes on and on. Everything has its seasons. And they're going to come and they're going to go. You're wise or you're foolish. You both die, right? Like it's kind of, you're like getting weighed down by all of this aspect. He does throw some good proverbs in the middle of it. But at the end, he revisits that everything's meaningless aspect to it. But the one thing about Ecclesiastes is So 99% of the book is Solomon writing on this theme, but there's kind of a narrator at the beginning and at the very end. And the narrator sums things up well. And right at the very end in chapter 12 says, but my child, let me give you some further advice. Be careful, for writing books is endless and much study wears you out. That's the whole story. Here now is my final conclusion. Fear God and obey his commands, for this is everyone's duty. God will judge us, and everything we do, including every secret thing, whether good or bad. So he's saying is, yeah, all this stuff happens, but fear God, right? Proverbs is full of fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We're going to talk a little bit more about that next week. That's next week's theme. But it kind of gives you a picture that, okay, life doesn't always go smooth, right? And he's saying we can pursue wisdom, like knowledge and smarts and trying to figure things out. And there's a bit of meaningless to that. So what's he saying? Let's go over to another wisdom book, Job. We know the story of Job. And Job is this fascinating dialogue between Satan and God, saying, look at Job. Everything's going well for him, but if things went bad for him, he would not believe in you anymore. And God allows Satan to come in and destroy Job's life, not his life. He's not allowed to take his life. And chapter after chapter, it's like, you must have done something wrong, his friends tell Job. And he says, I haven't. He's trying to figure this all out and trying to figure out, I don't get this. And then there's this amazing four-chapter dialogue at the end of Job. I just love this. Starting in verse 38. So after all of this, after all this trying to figure out wisdom and what's going on, the Lord answered Job from a whirlwind. Who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorant words? Brace yourself like a man, because I have some questions for you and you must answer them. It's like, whoa. Right? God is going into this lengthy questioning of Job. And he talks about, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you know so much. Who determined its dimensions and stretched out its survey lines? Who kept the sea inside its boundaries and said to the waves, this far and no farther will you come? Have you ever commanded the morning to appear? Have you explored the springs from which the seas come? Do you know the laws of the universe? Can you use them to regulate the earth? Can you make lightning appear and cause it to strike as you direct? I like this one. Who gives intuition to the heart and instinct to the mind? Who is wise enough to count all clouds? That's just one chapter. And then the next chapter, he just goes on questioning him. Do you have this perspective of God, is what he's saying? Do you still want to argue with the Almighty? You are God's critic, but do you have the answers? And finally, at the end, Job has nothing to say. He goes, I know you can do anything, and no one can stop you. You asked, who is this that questions my wisdom in such ignorance? It is I. And I was talking about things I knew nothing about, things far too wonderful for me. You said, listen, and I will speak to you. And he goes on just to say, I have nothing more to add, right? I understand that I don't understand, is what Job's conclusion is. There are things beyond my ability. And so no matter how wise things I pursue, there are going to be things beyond what I can grasp. And this is the perspective that God wants us to do as we dive into seek wisdom and seeking wisdom together. He wants us to have this perspective that wisdom is not smarts. It's the ability to see things in a godly way. We can't fully grasp it, can we? J.I. Packer, who is a pretty wise, smart guy, says this, wisdom is the power to see and the inclination to choose the best and highest goal, together with the surest means of attaining it. Wisdom, in fact, the practical side of moral is the practical side of moral goodness. As such, it has found its fullness only in God. He alone is naturally and entirely and invariably wise. Amen? So wisdom is the know-how of how to pursue this larger aspect. As Solomon said, you can write many books and study and study and study, and those are good pursuits. But in the end, those itself do not bring wisdom. It's this higher understanding of inviting God into what we have to say. So what does that mean? Okay, so we know wisdom isn't from our own ability. We're being invited into wisdom. So what does it look like? Well, I was thinking about this in my life. And a couple sort of perspectives that have always helped myself and Barb as we deal with things. Whenever we're trying to make a decision on career or housing or family or, you know, pretty big decisions. And we're like, we're confused. Maybe we're not united on it. And we're like, what's going on? This doesn't seem right. So we just stop and we ask ourselves one question. What do we know to be true? And we have to honestly ask ourselves, okay, what's the last point we knew something to be true from God? And sometimes we have to go back quite a bit, because you know what happens. At least it happens to me, right? We hear something, we sense something from God, and then I just run ahead and try to figure it all out on my own way. Anybody? And then it's like, okay, wait a minute. His promise was true. My execution of the promise was a little messed up. So I need to go back to that moment of truth and say, what do I know to be true? Okay, that is true. Lord, I know your voice. I hear your voice. This is true. So let's go from here now and redecide some of the things that maybe we didn't quite get. The other mentality that is very helpful is I call it a garden mindset. You know, being in church and going to church and being a part, we can sometimes get into a little bit of a production things, right? There's lots of things to do, and there's lots of great volunteer things, and they're all wonderful and excellent things to serve. But sometimes we get out of this sense that, you know what, God cares about growth, he really does, but he cares about it from a garden standpoint. What do I mean by that? What I mean is gardening is about growth, right? Because if you don't have a growing garden, you're not a very good gardener. But it's about cultivating and tending. Cultivating relationships, tending things. We realize that in gardens, the seasons happen, right? You don't grow 12 months of the year. Sometimes you don't even grow for a whole year, okay? I'm not a farmer, and I know there's lots of way smarter farmers in this building than me, but sometimes the ground has to go fallow, and it needs to replenish. Those are seasons in life. And so not always to judge life by keep going, keep going, keep going. Lord, what do you want to do? What do you want to build in relationships around here? There's that passage in John where God talks about Christ is divine and we're the branches, and to prune the branches down so we stay close to it. But you know what? How that passage begins? God is the gardener. And it took me a long time to figure out that God is gardening, and sometimes pruning and cutting back in different seasons of life is part of our journey as well. And there's wisdom in all of that. So what does that mean for us, South Abbotsford Church? you know, this time to seek wisdom together is the call of what I think the Lord is saying to us as a larger body, as a church, as a community together, is that we are entering a new season, a different season. And yeah, there are some things that we are still working on. There's some relational damage that is being worked through and prayed upon and healing and those kind of things. But I think the Lord is trying to say to us, church, that he wants us to press into not just a new season, but to stop and say, Lord, what do you want for us? What is your wisdom for this body and for where we're going? There's a lot of exciting and different things ahead of us. New lead pastor, new pastoral staff in some cases. The life and seasons of bodies and growth coming out of post-COVID. There's a lot of new things, and we need to press into what God is saying. But here's one thing I know for sure. It's going to be okay. It really is going to be okay. And I know that because there is such a foundation of service to the Lord and a love for the Lord and a love for what He wants to do here, and a maturity of faith and a wisdom that is here, that we're going to be okay. We're going to figure out things because God is going before us in all of that. So as we seek wisdom together, I have great hope and optimism, but I don't want us to do it on our own effort. That's really the key message. If you hear nothing else today, is that we can't get wisdom on our own. Wisdom is only from God and for God and towards God. And as the passage says, you are invited to it. We've kind of stuck in the Old Testament as we talk about wisdom, but there's a New Testament. There's lots of the New Testament about wisdom, right? James is almost a wisdom book in itself. Chapter 3 talks about it, and chapter 1 right up here. If you need wisdom, ask God, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. And so that's what he says. Let's ask the Lord for His wisdom, not for our wisdom in that. There's one other passage in the New Testament I just wanted to refer to in 1 Corinthians. Stop deceiving yourself, for if you think you are wise by this world's standards, you need to become a fool to be truly wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. So what's he saying in that passage? Chapter 3 of Corinthians is a fascinating view of this pursuit of understanding wisdom. Because Paul starts that by talking about, I would like to give you more solid food, but you guys are still drinking milk. And I want you to go deeper. I want you to understand the depths of all of this. And that if you're just pursuing following a man, he goes on the examples of some of you are following Apollos and some of you are following Paul and some of you are doing this. He says, don't view it that way. That's milk thinking. I want to give you meat. And he's saying this, I think, to South Abbotsford Church. I want us to dig into the meat that the Lord has for us. And so he says, stop deceiving it, because you're not going to find it on our own, or we're not going to find it through a man. We're only going to find it as we press in together. Amen? And it kind of sums up with this thought. I want to go back to our original passage in Proverbs. That picture of the banquet being done. The very beginning of it, as we read a few minutes ago, wisdom has built her house and she has carved its 7 columns. So yes, it's an invitation into a banquet, but first you need a place for the banquet, right? You need that, and you need to have a foundation in that. And as Paul talks about in this passage in 1 Corinthians, he says he's built this foundation, like a builder, and he wants it to be built on. But he's reminding us in this, in verse 13. But whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. So So this is the root of foundation, or the root of wisdom is our foundation in Jesus Christ. And that thing about the foolishness of God, or the foolishness of the world, the wisdom of the world is foolishness to God, and the wisdom of God is foolishness to the world. This is our mindset going into it. The last place in Scripture that I wanted to refer to that really emphasizes this point is in Isaiah, where it says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." So I think this is our challenge. It's our opportunity to say together as a congregation, not just today, but over the summer as we dive into this, okay, Lord, you're inviting us into wisdom. You're inviting us to figure things out. We know that we can't do it on our own. And we fall on the foundation of this building of wisdom, which is Jesus Christ. And the Lord will show up. The Lord will show us what is truth. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up again and as we look to figure out how we respond to all of this. You know that parable, not the parable, but when Jesus was asleep in the boat and the disciples are sailing across the lake and a storm comes and they're scared, they're about to feel like they're going to perish, and Jesus is sleeping and they wake him up and he says, "You have little faith," right? And he rebukes the wind and the waves and calm has happened. And the disciples stop and look at each other and go, "Who is this man that even the wind and the waves obey his name?" And this is what God has for us. This is this invitation into wisdom, that he sees things that we don't see, that he has so much more for us than what we can pursue on our own. And so as we sing this song in worship, we've been invited into wisdom, and now it's sort of a time for, we have to RSVP, right? How are we going to respond? And I guess the challenge is to say, how are you going to respond? Not just today, but over this next season ahead. Maybe it's just worshiping the Lord and falling on him. Maybe it's letting go of something, of backing up and saying, "Yeah, what is true, Lord?" And I kind of got off track there, and repenting of all of that. Maybe it's releasing things that need to be released. Whatever it is, I think you know what it is. And just the Lord is calling us into obedience. And that he wants to give wisdom, his wisdom, abundantly. So as we sing, I pray that you are praying about your response to this invitation of Lady Wisdom inviting us in, and that God has something for you, has something for us, and that I believe we have the prayer team, if anyone needs to be prayed for during the last song or even afterwards, they love praying, and we love praying. I love praying for you too, if that is something that the Lord is prompting on your heart. So let's stand and respond to the invitation of wisdom that the Lord has for us.